Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today I'll be starting a new chapter from the seventh canto, chapter 3, text number 1. So we begin with the chapter summary, and then it will be followed by the verse. Before I begin, I just want to thank especially Manabhata Prabhu for this amazing ecstatic kirtan. I feel fully enlivened. In fact, I don't even want to talk. It's knocked the wind right out of my vocal cords. So it's wonderful, and all of you who are so ecstatically dancing, I'm enjoying more just watching than even participating, since my ankles are getting old as time goes on. But it's so wonderful to see this. It reminds me of the 1970s. And everyone was just roaring and raging with the holy name. So please continue this spirit. It's very wonderful. It's highly contagious. And it's something needed, desirable. And it will benefit us all, because Krishna will be pleased with your extra enthusiasm that you are all putting out. So thank you so much. Chapter 3, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. This chapter describes how Hiranyakashipu performed a severe type of austerity for material benefit, thus causing great distress throughout the universe. Even Lord Brahma, the chief personality within this universe, became somewhat disturbed and personally went to see why Hiranyakashipu was engaged in such a severe austerity. Hiranyakashipu wanted to become immortal. He wanted not to be conquered by anyone, not to be attacked by old age and disease, and not to be harassed by any opponent. Thus, he wanted to become the absolute ruler of the entire universe. With this desire, he entered the valley of Mandara Mountain and began practicing a severe type of austerity and meditation. Seeing Hiranyakashipu engaged in this austerity, the demigods returned to their respective homes. But while Hiranyakashipu was thus engaged, a kind of fire began blazing from his head, disturbing the entire universe and its inhabitants, including the birds, beasts, and demigods. When all the higher and lower planets became too hot to live on, the demigods, being disturbed, left their abodes in the higher planets and went to see Lord Brahma, praying to him that he curtail this unnecessary heat. The demigods disclosed to Lord Brahma Hiranyakashipu's ambition to become immortal, overcoming his short duration of life, and to be the master of all the planetary systems, even Dhruva Loka. Dhruva Loka generally is not destroyed at the dissolution of the seven lower planets and the three middle planets. Dhruva Loka generally is the local Vaikuntha planet. So he wanted to be able to even destroy that if he wanted. Just see the the arrogance. Even though Krishna established it as his residence, his abode for, in the material world. It's where Kshira Dakshayu Vishnu resides. Upon hearing about the purpose of Hiranyakashipu's austere meditation, Lord Brahma, accompanied by the great sage Bhrigu and great personalities like Daksha, went to see Hiranyakashipu. He then sprinkled water from his kamandalu, a type of water pot, upon Hiranyakashipu's head. Hiranyakashipu, the king of the Daityas, bowed down low before Lord Brahma, the creator of this universe, offering respectful obeisances again and again and offering prayers. When Lord Brahma agreed to give him benedictions, he prayed not to be killed by any living entity, not to be killed in any place, covered or uncovered, not to die in the daytime or at night, not to be killed by any weapon on land or in the air, and not to be killed by any human being, animal, demigod, or any other living entity, living or non-living. He further prayed for supremacy over the entire universe and requested the 8 yogic perfections such as anima, piti is smaller than the smallest, and lagima, to be able to fly in the sky. Now, beginning of the verse. Sri Narada Uvacha, Hiranyakashipu, Rajan, Ajayam, Ajara, Amaram, Atmanam, Apratidvandvam, Ekarajam, Vyaditsata. Sri Narada Uvacha, Hiranyakashipu Rajan, Ajayam Ajaramaram, Atmanam Pratidvandvam, Ekarajam Vyaditsata. Sri Narada Uvacha, Hiranyakashipu Rajan, Ajayam Ajaramaram, Atmaram Pratidvandvam, Ekarajam Vyaditsata. Sri Narada Uvacha, Hiranyakashipu Rajan, Ajayam Ajaramaram, Atmaram Pratidvandvam, Ekarajam Vyaditsata. Ladies, please. Any more ladies? Okay. Sri Narada Uvacha, Narad Muni said, Hiranyakashipu, the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu, Rajan, O King Yudhisthira, Ajayam, O unconquerable by any enemy, Ajara, without old age or disease, Amaram, immortal, Atmanam, himself, Aprati Dvandvam, without any rival or opponent, Ekarajam, the one king of the universe, Vyadhitsata, desired to become. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Narada Muni said to Maharaj Yudhisthira, the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu wanted to be unconquerable and free from old age and dwindling of the body. He wanted to gain all the yogic perfections like anima and lagima, to be deathless, and to be the only king of the entire universe, including Brahmaloka. Purport. Such are the goals of the austerities performed by demons. Hiranyakashipu wanted to receive a benediction from Lord Brahma so that in the future he would be able to conquer Lord Brahma's abode. Similarly, another demon received a benediction from Lord Shiva, but later wanted to kill Lord Shiva through that same benediction. Thus, self-interested persons, by demoniac austerity, want to kill even their benedictors, whereas the Vaishnav wants to remain an ever-existing servant of the Lord and never to occupy the post of the Lord. Through Sayujya Mukti, which is generally demanded by Asuras, one merges into the existence of the Lord. But although one sometimes thus achieves the goal of the theory of monism, one falls down again to struggle in material existence. Om Agina Timidandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I pray to Srila Prabhupada, Lord Sri Krishna, that I may be able to say something useful and beneficial for all of us this morning, since everything depends upon their mercy. Srila Prabhupada in this purport makes it very clear that the goals of persons who are of a demoniac nature are not salutary, they are not beneficial, they are not helpful, because they are solely and truly self-interested and nothing more. So here we have in the purport it is mentioned that Hiranyakasipu, the brother of Hiranyaksha, the son of Diti, wanted to become so powerful, so great, so lordly, that he would have no competitor, no rival, no one to envy, and yet he wanted everyone to envy him. This is the nature of the demon. This is the nature of ourselves to some extent. I hope that doesn't shock anyone here, but it is. We are little Hiranyakashipus to some extent. And any time we think otherwise, we are truly cheating ourselves. We're in this world for the same reason Hiranyakasipu, he got booted into this world as a result of a curse and as a result of an arrangement by Krishna. But our being booted into this world was a question of choice. We decided no longer to serve the Supreme Lord, but instead to be lords, if possible, of this material world, over the material energy. Wanting to be a lord of the material energy, we therefore have come here with a false ego, mind, intelligence, physical body, five senses, and to use them in a process or in activities which will enable us to in some way make different types of conquests, whether it's a small conquest or a big conquest. Person may be just head of his family, so he feels some degree of importance, some degree of power. His children look up to him, his wife looks up to him, so he's feeling some degree of importance. Later on, his children may look down upon him, and he may lose that sense of importance. That happens. Not only that, but sometimes one's children totally disregards his parents and don't even talk to them anymore. I was listening to someone, in family member of mine, an aunt, and she was telling me that she hasn't spoken to her son hasn't spoken to her for at least 25 or 30 years. She has two sons. The other one, of course, is very loving and very caring, which is certainly a compensation for her. But yeah, he won't talk to her. I asked her why she just didn't want to go into it. It was just too tearful. This happens. And especially in the age of Kali, it happens a lot. Children are separated from their parents by distance. Kids go to school, they go to college or the university. They get jobs away from the home. And then there are family conflicts. Sometimes the conflicts, they burn on year after year. So the important point here is that everyone in this material world tries to gain some type of prominence. Little children try to gain prominence. I can still remember as a child when it would snow, we would have the snow build up. You know, the sanitation workers would move all the snow into one big pile. There would be a big pile up. So all of us kids would get around and we would try to get to the top of the pileup, or the top of the mountain. We used to call it King of the Mountain. So the person would get up there, and then anyone else who tried to get up, he would throw them back down again. So you had to be very smart how you can become King of the Mountain. So if you came through the front and you tried to get up, well, he would just throw you down, and there was no chance of becoming the king. But if you went through the back, well, you could throw him over and become king. So that's what material life is all about, trying to figure out some way to become the top gun or head honcho or whatever. One may become important as a head of a corporation, like a bank or some of these big corporations, multi-corporations. One may be head of an assembly in a city, an assemblyman or a senator. One may become a senator of the Congress, of the senator of the United States, or member of the House of Representatives. One may become a president. All of these persons are in a position of power. They create laws, and they can feel the satisfaction of thinking that these people are doing what I want them to do. They are following my instructions. I am their Lord. It may not come out in such blunt language as I am expressing it, but the basic idea is there. That's the feeling that I am important. When their children look up to them and say, oh, Daddy, you're a senator. Oh, Daddy, you're a basketball star. Oh, Daddy, or oh, Mommy, you're a super, super duper model. Or any of these types of superpositions. The person feels very heady, very intoxicated, very uplifted. But for how long? For how long? You have that little accomplishment, and no sooner do we have the accomplishment and the sense of being big and great and grand and important and powerful, it leaves. You already got it, now it's over. The time has passed. It's time for a new achievement, a new accomplishment, something that will reestablish or reaffirm our sense of greatness. It's not enough to be great, but we want to be very great. It's not enough to be very great, but it's now we want to be very, very great. It's not enough to be very, very great, but we want to be very, 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 very great. And it goes on and on and on. So is the intensity of the greed to be a lord of this universe. And here we have Hiranyakashipu, who will achieve, as we move on in the pages, he will achieve every degree of lordship in this material world. He will take over the planets of the demigods. He will make them work at his beck and call. He will say, do this, do that. I don't like the way you did this. He will chastise them unjustly, unfairly. And they have to eat humble pie because he becomes so powerful by the boon or the blessing of Lord Brahma. He will have all mystic perfections. No one will be able to defeat him in battle. He'll be invincible. No one can kill him inside. No one can kill him outside. No living being can kill him. Animal, human being, demigod, you name it, they can't kill him. So he's very much fortified, very much empowered. He has it all. And yet, in spite of the fact that he has it all, it's mentioned a little later on that he spent a lot of his time drinking strong-smelling wines and liquors. Why? A man has all the sense pleasure at his command that he desires. He can taste anything. He has the best cooks at his command. Every type of cooking, every type of spice, every type of pleasure is at his doorstep. People are adoring him. People are bowing down to him. People are shaking and shivering and trembling before him. He is the Lord of the material universe. And yet, he's miserable. It's mentioned. He's miserable. Why should he be miserable? When we come into this world, as we grow up, we're generally asked, what do you want to be, Johnny, when you grow up? What do you want to be, Elizabeth, when you grow up? You want to be a nurse, you want to be a doctor, you want to be a lawyer. You want to be somebody important, somebody powerful, somebody great. What do you want to be? So quite often children will say, well, I want to be a movie star, or I want to be a policeman, or I want to be a politician, I want to be the president. Nobody says I want to be a sanitation worker. As if that's something bad. Actually, if all the sanitation workers go on strike, we'll all be in a very bad position. They're absolutely necessary for any city or any metropolis to go on in a clean, sweet-smelling way. So this is the problem. The problem is that this material pleasure that he has of the tongue, the ears, the eyes, the nose, the skin, this material pleasure gave him a momentary, temporary, evanescent happiness, and then it was gone. Now he had everything. So what comes after when you have everything? There's nothing. You're miserable. You're empty. There's no new challenges. And there, the persons in the mode of passion, as Hiranyakashipu is, mode of passion and ignorance, they need challenges to keep reaffirming the fact that they are great and glorious and wonderful and amazing. If they don't have that, then they're miserable. And that's what we have. And that's why he had to be drinking wines and whiskeys, liquors, to forget his misery. He couldn't stand the idea that he was miserable. So when you take all anybody, how many here have ever gotten drunk? Anybody here got drunk here? You don't have to be ashamed. It won't be counted against you. I mean, I don't mean while you're in the movement. I mean before. So So you all know how giddy you get, you feel this sense of intoxicated pleasure, kind of woozy. You don't care what you say, all that. So this is what Hiranyakashipu degenerated unto. He had it all and yet had nothing. And this is such wonderful instruction for all of us. To not pursue material goals, because all you're going to get is a momentary pleasure, which is going to, like the smoke, you see it coming out of the chimney. It's black, thick. And then as it goes up, it gets a little lighter. And a little lighter. Lighter, 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 lighter. Nothing. That's what material happiness is. You have it, you lose it. It's here, you think it's going to be here forever, you act as if it's going to be here forever, but regretfully, you find out that it doesn't, and you become miserable. So Srila Prabhupada, in his infinite mercy, has come here to grant us the means by which we can have an alternative kind of happiness. It is the happiness of which comes from pleasing the Supreme Lord through the process of devotional service. By engaging in this process of devotional service, trying consciously, deliberately, intentionally, purposely, to give pleasure to the Supreme Lord, to any number of the nine forms of devotional service, hearing about the Lord, chanting about the Lord, remembering Krishna, serving his lotus feet, worshiping him, offering prayers to him, having a friendly, loving association with him, and surrendering or sacrificing your body, your mind, and your intelligence to him. These nine forms, and this sacrifice can come in any number of ways. Some of the wonderful devotees who dress the deities, this is one of the sacrifices. You give up your time to dress Krishna. And as you dress him, you try to dress him as beautifully as you can. You make sure that everything is symmetrical. You make sure the clothes are clean, that they didn't fall on the ground. You make sure that the garland is just planted in such a just perfect way. You want to please Krishna. Any activity in which you please Krishna, you go out and you chant the holy name with the devotees on the Harinam. remembering Krishna and eagerly wanting to share this name with everyone who surrounds you, knowing that their course of God realization has started the moment that they hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As soon as they hear it, the course of liberation has started. That may sound phenomenal, amazing, wondrous, but it's a fact. Haridas Thakur mentioned this in a meeting, and there was one person, he said, no, that is not possible. And he said, if that is possible, he said, then, what did he say about his nose? Yeah, thank you. May my nose fall off. That is not, if that is not possible. So Haridas Thakur said, if that is not possible, may my nose fall off. So this caused a great stir at that meeting. In fact, the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, they ordered him out and they fired him out from his job. So offensive was he to Haridas Thakur. And because he stated it in such a harsh and egotistical manner, a day or two later, he contracted leprosy. His nose began, he had a beautiful face, beautiful nose. His nose became filled with sores. And leprosy came all over his nose and his nose fell off. Such is the power of... Now, Haridas Thakur did not wish his nose to fall off. That is not his nature. If anything, he was inwardly praying, may this person get bhakti. May he get devotion. May he get faith. May he get love. This is what Haridas Thakur was inwardly praying. That's his nature. That's the way he acted. Nonetheless, Krishna does not like it when we offend his devotees. And he gives a just and due punishment to persons who offend devotees. He may not give it immediately. And sometimes a devotee who makes an offense against another devotee thinks, well, Krishna's not he's not punishing me. That means I'm right. What I said is good. A month goes by, a year goes by, sometimes 5 years go by. And if the person has not repented, he has not said, I'm sorry, he has not apologized, then Krishna strikes. He's given him a lot of opportunity. Especially devotees are given a lot of rope. They can either climb up to the spiritual world with it and free themselves, or they can strangle themselves. And that's what happened to this, what was his name? Gopal? Gopal Chakravarti, yes. So this happened to another Gopal Chapal also when he he offended a Vaishnava. So Srila Prabhupada mentions here that the difference between the devotee and the demon is that the devotee wants to serve Krishna. He knows that his constitutional position is to be a servant of Krishna. Jivera swarupahoi Krishnera nitya das. The constitutional position of the living entity, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, is to be an eternal servant of God. That is our human dharma. That is what we are expected to do, we are supposed to do. And if we try to do anything else but that, instead try to be a lord of the world, instead of being a servant of the Supreme Lord and his devotees, and also of the general public, trying to give them this glorious knowledge of Krishna consciousness, if we do this, then we are properly situated. Krishna says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances. Worship me. Thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Most important for all of us is to be very, very patient. In school, you go through 4 years, undergraduate. Then you may go through 2 years, 3 years of master degree. You may go through another 2-3 years of PhD or medical school, another four. You may spend 12 years in school, but after 12 years, you've got it. You've got your certificates, you've got your diplomas, you can go and practice, you've done your residencies, and you've done your internships, and so forth. It's over. Now I am a that. I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm a this, I'm a that. I can. Not so in Krishna consciousness. We have to take away that mentality that all I have to do is put in 2 years, 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, 20 years in Krishna conscious activities and I become God realized. Not necessarily. Everything is depending upon the evaporation or the annihilation of the false ego. Until that false ego disappears. Now, what is this false ego for some of us who may not know the meaning of that term? The real ego is the soul. And the false ego occurs when the soul identifies itself with the material body and all of the extensions or connections of the material body, such as my family, my town, my city, my car, my airplane, my university diplomas, my big shot friends, whatever it is, I identify with that and I feel great and I feel big and powerful according to those connections. And if those connections disappear, as they eventually do, we begin to feel empty. We feel we have nothing. I told that story some time ago about the multimillionaires who in the 1929 and 30 crash, economic crash. They had nothing. And they had such an inflated ego, so huge, bigger than the Empire State Building. And many of them went up to the top of the Empire State Building and, as I said, did swan dives out. They didn't come into water. They splashed right into the concrete. Because they couldn't bear the shock of being Mr. Nobody. They couldn't stand it. They were thinking they're Mr. Somebody. So that's what Srila Prabhupada saved us from, this illusion that we are somebody as a result of all of these acquirements. The more acquirements that we have, the more the illusion grows. The bigger the false ego becomes. So our process here, through the process of devotional loving service, is to gradually dissolve the false ego through the process of surrendering, hearing about the Lord, chanting about the Lord, as I mentioned, accepting whatever is favorable for discharging devotional service, rejecting whatever is unfavorable for discharging devotional service, believing firmly that the Lord will always protect His devotee, feeling dependent always on the mercy of the Lord, having no separate interest, but the interest of God, and being especially important, meek and humble. Unless we develop humility, unless we develop meekness, unless we develop a sense of what is humility? Sometimes people think humility is walking around with a head down, maybe your palms together. That has nothing to do with humility, although one who can be humble and do that. Humility is a consciousness. It is a consciousness of how tiny and insignificant and worthless compared to Krishna we are. And yet we take on importance, we take on value, we take on glory when we consciously connect ourselves with the Supreme Lord through the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. By consciously connecting ourselves with the Supreme Lord, we connect with His opulence. We connect with His beauty, with His wealth, with His strength, with His influence, with His power, with His fame, with His renunciation. We connect with all of those wonderful things which come to us as a result of His mercy, His grace, His love. He bestows them upon us because He loves us. He wants us to have them because the littler we begin to think we are, the smaller we think we are, the bigger He will make us become. All these great devotees, look at Haridas Thakur. He thought he was this nobody, nothing. He kept referring to himself as insignificant, worthless, a sinner. And what did he do? Lord Chaitanya, at the time that he was to die, Lord Chaitanya agreed to place his feet on the heart of Haridas Thakur. And all the Vaishnavas were surrounding and chanting Hare Krishna. After Haridas Thakur willfully, intentionally, personally, just withdrew his consciousness from his external body, Lord Chaitanya took that body, hugged it, embraced it tightly, and glorified Haridas Thakur innumerably. He didn't want to, it seemed like he couldn't stop praising and glorifying and honoring Haridas Thakur. And then what did he do? He took the body and hastened to the ocean and washed the body personally. This is the result of pure, deep, dedicated humility. This should be our goal, to be smaller than the smallest of the smallest of the smallest. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. This should be our goal. To get tiny in consciousness, but not just tiny in and of itself, but tiny in connection with Krishna. Because he wants us all to shine. He took pleasure in seeing Arjuna win so many battles. He takes pleasure in helping the devotees shine. And all of us who are doing our service will do better and better service the more we take shelter in Krishna. As Krishna says, and I'll wind this up with, he says, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time perform your prescribed duty of fighting with your activity dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me. You will come to me without a doubt. Because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be freed of the miseries of material existence. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, do this as an offering unto me. In this way, you'll be freed from the bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they may come to me. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. And I'll end on that note. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.